Understand that in the canonization, here I am giving an introduction again. This is almost funny, because this was not scripted. But in the canonization of Hebrews, of any of the books of the New Testament, you know, one of the major items is who wrote it and their connection with the apostles. That was a critical item before they added to it. They also looked at who it was written to and for what purpose. Well, I'll just share with you, there is the book of Hebrews stands in a very unique place in Scripture. We don't know who the author is. There will be some that raise their hand and say, oh, no, it's the Apostle Paul. Well, you may think that, but you don't know that. There's a difference, because there is no real hard evidence that the Apostle Paul, and there is a powerful argument that says it isn't the Apostle Paul. It was included in the Word of God. It was included in the canonization of the New Testament for some phenomenal reasons, because of the phenomenal depth of the theology that is found in this book. And it also was included because of its artistic handling of the language. It is poetically beautiful in the original language. It's many times said that there is no higher example of Koine Greek than there is in the book of Hebrews. It was written by someone who knew the language extremely well and powerfully used it as the author, as he was inspired by the Spirit of God. And therefore, we have this book that we really don't know who wrote it. We don't know who he wrote it to. We don't know why he wrote it. But he, in the midst of this, or where he wrote it from, I meant to say, we know why he wrote it. He wanted us to have a deeper understanding of who Christ is. That's for sure. So scratch that. I was not misspeaking when I was saying we don't know why. We do know why. It talks about how Jesus Christ is so much superior to anything else, to any other form of worship, any other thing that you might turn to. Jesus Christ is better. He's more perfect. And he is forever. Forever. That's a critical issue in the theme of this book. There is permanence. And I'll tell you what, we ought to hold on to this one, because the nation which many of us so depend on for our security, it may not be here in any way, shape, close to the form it is today, 5 years from now. It very easily could collapse. But you know what? Even if it collapsed around us, it shouldn't really take us off our feet, because we ought to be anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever, independent of our personal circumstances or national circumstances or any other circumstances. That's thrilling, actually. What difference does it make that Jesus is the heir of all things and the Father made the universe, really made the universe through him? It's not make, made the universe through him. What difference does it make? Well, I'll tell you what. You ought to think about that. You ought to meditate on it. Wow, should it motivate me? The book of Hebrews is geared around the thought that recognizing that he is the heir and that he has made everything, and then ultimately he says he's going to share it with us, is supposed to be a strong motivation in us walking properly. What are some ways we can honor Christ? And you know why I say that when we are looking at the book of Hebrews? Because Christ is lifted up. And we, as Christ followers, are supposed to be doing that all the time. We aren't really supposed to just be going through our lives. When we hit challenges and when it is smooth sailing, we are to be mindful that we're to do all things to bring him glory. So my question to us, not a hypothetical one, I'd even take some responses. How can we honor Christ? Tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. That would honor him. We were so thrilled about the Lord that we were sharing it with someone else, for sure. How else?
By our obedience
to Christ. By doing what he has told us to do versus not. What does he say? He says that We're to whatsoever we do, whatsoever we whatever we eat, everything we're supposed to do is to bring honor to the Lord. Whatsoever thing we say and how we say it, how we walk, how we interact, all of this stuff. Now, it is not easy because people don't respond to us always as nicely as we think they should. I was driving on 94 today, and this individual before me was progressively slowing down. I really thought the individual had mechanical problems. And then I turned on my blinker to move over, and they sped up and moved over. And then they slowed down again. And I switched lanes again, and they did the same thing. Now, you know, in the flesh, about now, you start thinking, this is not okay. And it was a couple kids, and they were laughing so hard. They thought it was so funny. Which actually is, my daughter's laughing up in front. The truth is, when they started doing that, I started thinking it was funny too. Because I had just been talking to myself about honoring the Lord in my responses. And here these kids were just messing around, and they took me off, you know, off my message so quickly. Now, fortunately, I didn't go into road rage, and I didn't do anything like that. But in my heart, I knew I had lost my way. You know, isn't God a great God to discipline us in that way? Because that's what it was. It was a discipline. It was put me back on track. Remember, listen, this is not just when things are going good. Now, boy, am I taking too long here. Steps you can take to remind yourself that Jesus is the Son of God and worth following. Boy, that's a reminder. See, one of the things that I'm saying to you is that if we want to start living like the Christians we're supposed to live with, you and I have to put some things in place, routines in place, that remind us, hey, this is what life is about. It isn't about getting ahead in our temporal culture. It's about getting ahead in our eternal standing before God. So God is well pleased with us, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what's really going to matter when it's all said and done. Who is Jesus? He is God in the flesh. That's a blessed truth. The exact representative of God. Now, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we looked at this verse, states, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Hebrews is telling us that Jesus Christ is the flashing lights. It's like the police cars. You know how they have the flashing lights now that are so bright that they think they're there so that we wouldn't run into them. But the fact is, we're more likely to run into them because they're so bright. You understand what I'm saying? You get blinded when you come up. I think somebody ought to do something about that. But at any rate, God is telling us that Jesus Christ is that flashing glory for us to meditate on and to understand so we know who God is. It is reminded, I didn't really want that one, for this one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Talking about the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why? So that we would behold his glory. We would recognize it. Now, think about that in year 2016, which is where we're in. It's been 2,000 years since the Lord has incarnately been on earth walking around, so we're not seeing him in that way. But this is for us. So how are we supposed to see him today? How are we supposed to see God? We should be reading about Jesus Christ, picturing it, meditating on it, and stirring our hearts to understand who it is. Now that is a mental exercise. There's no question, but that is exactly what the challenge is. We are to get to know him through his word. That is the way he's revealed to us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter, and you're righteous in the scepter of your kingdom. He is saying, but to the Son he says. God the Father says to the Son, you are God. Now, he didn't have to say that to the Son, so that's not the purpose of this verse. The purpose of this verse is that if you were ever doubting that Jesus Christ really is God, There it is. God the Father says to his Son, your throne, what? O God. That's the point. Jesus Christ is God. And we need to be very mindful. The book of Hebrews is stressing this point. He is God. We're supposed to know him personally. We're supposed to walk with him closely, but never, ever, ever, ever forget that he's God. He created the world. See that in verse 7 towards the end of it? Now, why does that matter? Why does it matter that he created the world? You know, it says it there. It says it again in 10. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. You have to be asking yourself, why does it matter that the Scripture says we got to know this, that Jesus Christ is the instrument that is powerfully worked in creation? Colossians reminds us again, not only is he the active force in the creation, but he is the active force in sustaining us. Why does it matter? I'll tell you why it matters. The same reason it matters that when you walk into your house or into someone's house, you and I ought to be mindful of who owns what. Ever notice that not everybody is mindful of who owns what? I say that, you know, I have since we've owned the house, and I've told you before, I really have given it all to the Lord. But I have a lot of people come through, and a lot of people that come in and are there that really, they don't really respect things. Ever been around that? You know, that they just break things and they don't seem to really care. I have one of the neighbor boys. I won't mention his name. But I'll tell you what, when he comes, we've decided we're letting him into the home, or we're trying to reach out to him and his sister. But the little kid has taken almost everything he's ever seen that he thought we didn't see him see it. You understand what I'm saying? If he walks in the room and he sees something that looks nice, he will try to take it. I don't say that to condemn him. I say it to just say that's his nature. I am praying that Jesus Christ will get a hold of him so he have a changed nature. But I'll tell you what. It is important for people to recognize who owns what. That's very important. Every one of us needs to know that. And Jesus said, God the Father said, listen, group, he is the creator. He is the sustainer, and you and I are accountable to him. And we ought not to be just going through life casually, not giving it a thought, because it does matter. And he needs to get the glory. He expects the glory. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Everything is his. All of it. Everything you own is his. Everything you've ever touched or seen is his. Anything you're ever going to see was made by him. He also paid the price for our sins. Critical issue. In verse 3, at the end of it, or almost to the end, he had by himself purged our sins. Now, the word purged is a powerful word. It's the idea of just cleansing it out, cleaning it out. Now, for some in here, you may have some things going on that you haven't really confessed, and you're still struggling with certain things. If you are a believer, he has already purged those. Your past, present, and future sins are cared for. It's only your fellowship with him that is going to be damaged if you don't repent of this. But it will be damaged hugely, so repent. He's already paid for it. No matter what you've done, he has already cared for it. That's the big point that I'm trying to make. There isn't anything we've ever done or anything we ever could do that is beyond his ability to have purged it already at the cross. Ephesians chapter 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood. We have redemption. We've been bought back. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Not in accordance to our good works. You understand the blessing? He has totally accomplished it. And it ought to change the way we approach life. We ought to be so grateful. And the last one is, he has done all he set out to do. I think I changed that in my handout. He is God and is personally is our personal advocate forever. That is what I changed it to in the last one. I've got the wrong PowerPoint, but the point is still the same. He sat at the right hand. And when he was done with his work, he's in the throne room and he sits down. What is that a testimony to you and I about? It's been all completed. He has finished the work. He has accomplished what he set out to accomplish. And we can be encouraged by that. We don't have to have him do something more. It's already done. All the sin, the authority of all sin has already been eradicated. He already took care of that. We simply need to do what we've been told to do in our part, and that's to mortify the deeds of the flesh. He has already illuminated the minds of genuine believers. If you come to Jesus Christ, he's already changed your mind at that point so that you can read Scripture and understand it. But we have the obligation to do our part in that, to take the part of the blessing, and that is to meditate on Scripture. Spend time in Scripture. There's some in here, I bet you a lot of us in here, have had different times where we have had real times of memory of Scripture. And then it falls away and we're not doing it again. Now, the only difference here is it's not that God changed your ability to memorize Scripture or to be blessed by the memory of Scripture. The only difference is that you have chosen not to meditate onto it with the same intensity. And you see, we are the losers when we make those bad choices. And I think of the fruit of the Spirit. Every one of us that is a genuine believer already have all of the fruit of the Spirit placed within us by the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, all of those things are there. But we have been commanded to do our part, and that's to manifest Christ-likeness. In other words, to discipline ourselves to do our part. Isn't that a beautiful concept, the way that works? I was trying to teach, I won't say anything. I'm going to say this. I know it's on the internet, so I've got to be a little careful. One of my grandchildren, we will not make a mention of age here, but I was trying to get him to work, learn work ethic. And so I was having him mow the lawn. That was a huge challenge. Not for him, for me. Because he couldn't keep his mind on finishing the job. And he would mow the lawn and he wouldn't pay attention. And you get to the end, and I'd say, okay, and I just about said the kid's name, and I don't mean to do that. And I would say, all right, I walk up to him, and I say, now, before we go, and I turn off the, and I say, now, look, turn around, look. You see anything? No, it looks good. I say, and I go over here, and I get him down here, and I say, you see this stuff? This stuff is about 2 inches higher than either side here. What do you think caused that? I don't know, Grandpa. I said, seriously? Okay, so we went all the way through. What am I saying? I am saying that some of us are like my grandson. We need to be disciplined to pay attention to what's going on because we're missing things. We're missing the blessing of walking close with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are the losers. That's the funny part about it. Others lose too, by the way, but because we are to be a blessing to one another. So when you aren't doing what you ought to be doing and growing the way you ought to be growing, you aren't the catalyst for others to grow. So the whole body is hurting as a result. But we are really the big losers. And so I'm challenging tonight. Think about your life. Look at your life. What areas of these fundamental things that we could do to glorify God do we need to put in place? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, therefore he also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives and makes intercession for them. You understand? The part that is so thrilling to me is the word always. Even when we don't even recognize Him, He's still there. And He's willing to make intercession for us. Even after a long time of dryness, if we come back to Him. You know, because of the time, if you look at 5 through 13, 14, you will see that there are Old Testament quotes. And all I am saying to you is the book of Hebrews is full of Old Testament scripture. And it's anchored upon it. Let me just quickly show you that in the 5th verse, for you are my son, today I have begotten you. It is a quotation from Psalms, reminding us that back there they were looking forward to it. Today we have had the privilege of experiencing it. And in the latter part of 2 Samuel chapter 4, 7 verse 14, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. It was not like it just accidentally happened. It was prophesied. And Deuteronomy in the verse 6 says, let all the angels of God worship him. And if the angels, all the messengers of God, to worship him. That's what it was said back in Deuteronomy from the Septuagint. It's a direct quote from the Septuagint, not from the Hebrew Bible. And then 8 and 9 is a quotation from 45. But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with all of gladness more than your companions. And then it goes on and it says, a quotation from Psalm 102. I don't have time to build what I was going to do with this section, but the point here is that it does matter that he is heir of everything, and it should matter that he has made the universe. It should matter to us because we recognize we are part of that creation. We owe everything to our Creator God, and we ought to live in accordance with that. And everything we touch is part of His creation. We ought to treat it properly. What are some of the ways we can honor the Lord? Number one, get serious about growing closer to Him. Get serious about living for Him. Not living for ourselves, but living for Him. Use tomorrow to be His messenger in whatever group or sphere of people you're in. Get serious about it. Our world desperately needs people that are 100% committed to living before the world in such a way that they see Christ. And you and I are supposed to be that messenger. What steps can we take to remind ourselves? When you wake up in the morning, praise Him. When I wake up in the morning, I am challenging myself to end the day closer to Him than I've ever been. I'm talking about when I just wake up. You don't understand, it may be 4 in the morning. And I may fall back to sleep again before I actually get out of bed. But I wake up and I'm saying my first thoughts. How can I live today in such a way that I end up closer to Him? So close to Him that I've never been that close before. And I'm not talking about some special spirit. I'm talking about just an intimate walk. My own experience in this endeavor, it's like an adventure. My one son and his my grandson talk about going on their adventures. When they're having fun, they're going to go on an adventure. And they will do things like just take the bus to a park. Or, you know, lucky they haven't gotten into this. What's the thing about the little yellow animal? What? The storm's hitting here, but you know the Pokemon. Yeah, it's like that. But they do that on their own. They just creatively go to the park or go on a bus ride, and then they'll jump on the train and they'll just walk through the whatever. And it's the adventure. And those two can do that for a day. They spend very little money. And in reality, they've gone every place, but you would think, what did you do? They had the greatest of time together. And you know what that does for me? It reminds me, that's how I want to be walking. I want to have an adventure day by day with my Lord. Just going about my day. Wherever I'm going, however I'm going, that I might just experience Him more meaningfully in my life. And that's my heart for you. In fact, that's where we'll leave tonight. Father,